podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the Shackles Are Off podcast. And I know it's been a while. It's been too long. But things get in the way and we've got a busy summer ahead. And the good news for you who are loyal listeners of the podcast and are probably thinking, have they released this by mistake? No, we've got loads of really good stuff coming up throughout the summer because it is the biggest of all summers. It is an Ashes Test summer. And Chris Millard and myself, James Gregg, are going to be with you all the way through, trying to bring you a bit of reaction, trying to look at a different angle to the likes of TMS and TalkSport and all the other million cricket podcasts that have spawned since our inception, what, 3 or 4 years ago. And they still don't have a better backlog of guests than us, by the way. No chance. No podcast does. So if you are new to this and you're thinking, what are they on about? Go and have a look. Have a little scroll down on the podcast feed and you'll see an embarrassment of riches in terms of guests that we've had on. I'm not even going to start listing them because, well, you can do that yourself whilst you're having a listen to this episode. So this summer, Chris, it's obviously about as big as it gets for the England cricket team and about as big as it gets from a Barmy Army perspective as well. Events. First one that springs to mind, Barmy Bingo, which is a new brainchild. And if we're completely honest, we're still sort of working out how it's going to work.
We are. Nice to be back, first of all, James. It's lovely to be back on a podcast with you. And we've left a bit too long, haven't we? As you said, things happen. Life gets in the way, but we're back. We're back for the Ashes, a massive year of cricket. The Ashes, a World Cup, a West Indies tour. There's so much cricket to go at. And as you rightly say, we've got Barmy Bingo coming up. So to give you the background on this, it's a brainchild of the Barmy Army Ops team, really. We had a work end of quarter do, and they planned Barmy Bingo. Well, they planned Bongo's Bingo. So we took the whole Barmy Army staff team down to Bongo's Bingo and we had an amazing night. And we decided to flip it on the night and turn it into Cricket Bongo Bingo. So when they were calling out the numbers, we'd then start singing the song of the player that it related to. And then we got back to the office the next day, a few dusty heads, I must admit. But we had a little conversation. It was like, well, we should do this. Like, Everyone wants something to do after cricket. Everyone wants to have a bit of fun and sing some songs. What better way than to win prizes like cardboard cutouts of Owen Morgan and a day out with certain ex-cricketers than to do it playing bingo after a day watching England dominate the Aussies the first day of the Ashes? So the first version of the event, the trial event, is going to be a walkabout on Broad Street in Birmingham after day one of the test match starting at 8 p.m. And it's going to be a night of a lot of Ashes festivities, but the main pinnacle point is Barmy Bingo, you on the mic, Finchy on the trumpet, Pagey on the DJ decks, all dressed up in umpire's uniforms. What more could you want from a Friday in June?
You know what, it's making me nervous, actually, but it's going to be great, isn't it? It's a great concept.
And if you work for Bongo's Bingo and you listen to this, yes, we absolutely did rip you off, and I am sorry, but it's just a great idea. Well done, you.
Yeah, correct. It is good. It is good. It's been going a while as well, that. So we've, Hey, look, we're going to put our own twist on it. That's day one of the Ashes as well. So that is going to be some start to the Ashes summer. And if you are at Edgbaston, or even if you're not, and you're listening to this, keep your eyes peeled on the socials because we'll be sort of going mad for it, won't we, in the next couple of weeks building up to that.
So we will. There's one thing I must mention, Greggy. There is only 50 tickets left for the Birmingham event. So 50 tickets, they'll be gone very quickly when we start promoting it again. So make sure you do get a ticket to the Birmingham one. If not, we are doing the same in London during the Lord's Test, the first day of the Friday of the Lord's Test, sorry. We will be doing it at a central London venue in Leicester Square. And it's going to be mega. So any London-based listeners, make sure you come down to that. And we've already had one go at it in Birmingham, so it'll be even better, I thought.
Perfect. Looking forward to it already. And you know what is actually really nice? We're recording this at well, just after tea, or is tea now, isn't it, of the first test against, or the only test, England versus Ireland. Say the first test, because it is the first test of the English summer. And it is nice, isn't it? Seeing the sun beating down on that gorgeous green outfield at Lord's just seems such a long time since we had any cricket in the UK of a Red Bull variety with England. And it's honestly, I'm so excited. It seems late as well, you know?
It's been a long time since the last test, really, hasn't it? Mm. New Zealand was a hell of a long time ago now, and just the IPL seems to go on for longer and longer each year, doesn't it? Mm. I mean, it was amazing for those that are into the IPL and watch it. It was a very good tournament, seeing so many English faces competing over there, but it has prolonged the lack of Test cricket, unfortunately. But we're back. As we've been talking, I've just watched in the background of the office. We do have it on, of course. Stuart Broad take another wicket. He looks in mighty fine form. I hope Dave Warner's watching.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, absolutely. Well, what's that, five for now? So there we have it. Nice little start to the summer for Broadie. Yeah, I'm not going to go too big on controversial opinions here, but that would be
that's very not like you, Greggy, eh? You're not one for sitting on the fence, are you?
No, I'm just thinking, you know, come on. I don't get the IPL thing yet. I don't. And I watched it on TV. I've watched plenty of it over the years, right, to see it and understand. I understand what an amazing product it is. I do actually think that some of the matches and stuff that you see is fantastic to watch. It's a great spectacle. They know how to put on a show. I just don't. It's just not the same for me as watching an England test match, home or away. It's not even the same as an ICC tournament for me. I know it's international cricket, one's kind of domestic, and they're two different things, different audiences, you could argue. And I need to go, right, to the IPL and then make my mind up, don't I? Because I just can't get into it. And I'm not saying I dislike it. I just can't get into it. I don't understand. I just don't understand the appeal.
I think we're English, aren't we? We're very traditional English. We've always supported our counties. We've always supported our football teams. You kind of grow up supporting a team. You don't just then start supporting a team because they wear a nice kit or they've signed your favourite player. But look, we are not the target market, quite clearly. But hey, I know I've got a lot of mates that are very like us, but do support a team. And one of my mates actually showed up the other day to our cricket nets, our very below average cricket team, in a XXL Registan Royals t-shirt, and I was like, wow, what is happening? I thought that's a real shift in culture. I would have thought 3 years ago that wouldn't happen, but he's rocked up really proud of his Registan Royals top. So mind you, he's a bit odd.
3 years ago he'd have been turning up in a Yorkshire Vikings or a whatever top, you know. But anyway, right, we're not going to get into that. It's the first podcast of the summer, so let's keep it nice. You have been chatting to Ben Duckett. We're going to get into that in a second. Before that, though, I know it seems strange to be talking about what lies ahead, but just going to plant the seed now for podcast listeners and who will have their appetite whetted by watching some of these test matches in the coming weeks, perhaps even the Ireland test matches, enough to kind of rekindle the fire in the belly, the thirst for going to watch England away from home. Every single winter now, there is just an awesome amount of opportunity to go and watch England in an amazing place. West Indies, talk to me, because there's some great travel packages and it's one that's on my bucket list as well.
Yeah, we'll have to get you there, James, for this one. I think it's just one of those places, if you haven't been before to the West Indies to watch cricket, then you must go. It's a bucket list. I know, of course, I'm going to say that Barmy Army were selling quite a lot of packages to go there. However, if I'm a punter, if I want to go, it's on the cricket bucket list, isn't it? Usually a game in Barbados, but look, when I went a couple of years ago, Grenada, what a place. What a beautiful place that is. Grenada is just an excellent place. Antigua, very relaxing, lovely beaches, lovely hotels. And Barbados is the party island you get the cricket. And the final island where cricket's happening is Trinidad, where we've not been for many, many years. So there's so much happening and there is so much going on. But the West Indies in December, it's freezing cold in December at home. Everyone's ill. Everyone's moaning about how cold it is, how long this winter's going to be. We'll be in the West Indies celebrating England's ODI side and T20 side that are the best in the world at the minute, as we know. enjoying rum punch and some fabulous cricket and some Barmy Army parties. Like, I don't understand, other than the obvious economical impact and the difficult time we've had, if people can afford to go, I don't understand why you wouldn't go.
Sounds rubbish. Definitely have a look at that. Definitely have a look. The Barmy Army website, by the way, has got a lot better. Obviously, I'm kind of, I don't work for the Barmy Army, but I am obviously affiliated to, and probably a few years ago, the Barmy Army website was not at its best, but now it's great. I genuinely, and I hate saying nice things about you, but it's you've done a good job sorting that out.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, no, we're getting there. We're making some really good progress. We've got a team in the office that are very passionate about what they do and really enjoy what they do. So things like the website improvements, the blog, the social media improvements, the events that we're trying to improve are all for our members and all for the people that support the England team. We want to make it as fun and as accessible as possible to support the England team, whether that's touring overseas, whether that's being a member, whether that's buying a ticket to one of our events, whether that's just interacting with us online and feeling part of the community that way. We want to make it the absolute best experience for anyone involved with cricket and involved with the Barmy Army.
Well, there you go. Plenty of stuff throughout the summer to come on that front as well, like we've been alluding to. So keep your eyes peeled on all the usual places as well, on socials, etc. Now, talk to me about Ben Duckett. Where did you bump into Ben Duckett? We've had him on the podcast before, but this is obviously a pre-Ashes chat.
We have, yes. Ben Duckett is a avid supporter of the Barmy Army over many, many years. He played for the Barmy Army Colts when he was 14 on a cricket tour. Mm. He's just been part of the furniture, if you like, growing up within the infrastructure of the Barmy Army. So this year, we decided to sponsor him. So Barmy Army are sponsoring Ben Duckett for the whole year. You'll see us on the back of his bat, Barmy Army Travel, and you'll see him at some of our events. You'll see him popping up here, there, and everywhere with the Barmy Army. So it's a really exciting year to have Ben on board, working with us as our proud ambassador. I think he's someone that has the potential to be one of England's great openers for a very long time, in multi-format as well. He's already shown what he can do in the test team. He's shown what he can do in the short format as well. He's such an exciting cricketer. And it felt right that we supported him. So we caught up on a fairly cold midweek day in May at Notts as he was preparing to face Jimmy, actually, against Lanks. He did all right. So he was preparing to face Jimmy. He was talking through the tactics of what he was going to try and do. I think he was trying to, it was quite a short boundary that day. So if he gave him any width, he said he was going to try and cut him for six. I was like, yeah, that's the way to play Jimmy, isn't it?
I'm sure he'd be really happy about that as well.
Love the ambition. Absolutely love the ambition. So no, it was a really good chat with him. He's such a good guy. I'm just wishing him all the best for this year. And I really think he's going to be one of our standout players for the Ashes series.
Certainly. It's difficult to pick a standout, isn't it? Or a potential standout with Harry Brook. Obviously, Bairstow had that ridiculous summer last year. Lots of people hoping that Zach Crawley, you know, brings his best, because his best is ridiculous. And then Stokes, Root, you know, Harry Brook, Ben Duckett. I mean, embarrassment, really. And then you chuck in the bowlers, you know, this new lad, Josh Tong as well. The Worcestershire seamer looks brilliant as well, doesn't he? Ben Stokes talks about him having the X factor. So there's quite a lot to go at, really. And we do wish them all the very best. Look, we're going to see how it all pans out. Chris and I will be here on the podcast on effectively day six of every single test match with a guest. We're not sure who yet. We're just going to try and grab somebody, I think, from each test match, you know, an ex-England player, for example, and we'll talk through a few bits and pieces, and also any interactions that you may have with us on social media, any emails you send in, etc. Look, we're going to get into a great summer, and we're going to kick it off with hearing from the man at the top of the England batting order, Ben Duckett, speaking to Chris Millard here on the Barmy Army Shackles Are Off podcast.
We're on the brink of a Ashes summer. It's a long time ago since you made your test debut. This feels a bit different though. The Ashes is coming. We're on fine form. How excited are you? How are you feeling ahead of a pretty big summer?
Yeah, I mean, putting it like that, a little bit surreal, I think. You know, I mean, even if I look back to kind of last summer, the thought of even being in the mix for an Ashes summer is pretty incredible, to be honest. So, yeah, I think kind of the older I've got, I've learnt to almost put those kind of things in the back of my mind. I think maybe, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago, I'd have been conscious of it and probably putting too much pressure on myself out in the middle. But for me, really, it's about, I'm just taking each week as it comes now, trying to, you know, I don't know how much cricket I'll play for Notts this summer, so I really want to try and, you know, give them all I've got whilst I'm here. And it's started really well, so fingers crossed I can take their form through.
Not a bad start at all. As a very newly formed Barmy Army ambassador, good to be in the run's early doors. We're very happy about it. Obviously, we always are, but we're even more happy now. Just as a kid growing up, though, and as a fan, what did the Ashes mean to you in the early days of you loving cricket?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the standout for me was 2005. I know that even a lot of people my age, that was kind of got them into cricket. I mean, I was 10 and loved the game from, I can remember walking really, so I was already a massive fan of watching England cricket, but I just remember, little moments of that summer, you know, the way England played, how fearless they kind of were, which in a certain sense kind of is like the England team are playing now. The way KP came into that team back then and just took on the Aussies, it was just incredible to watch. There's not loads of the away trips that there's too many fond memories of. You know, it's an incredibly tough place to go. But yeah, it's just really exciting. I think you can already tell the kind of buzz around the country. And I guess when you're watching it, you know it's a big thing. But when you've got people coming up to you, you know, you might be playing in it, it's a different kind of excitement. Hopefully the weather's good and you know, England can turn them over.
We're hoping the same, as you can imagine. So obviously you've got a formidable side in the Aussies. They're an incredible team. They've got some incredible talents. But I think it was Ollie Robinson that said he's going to stick it to the Aussies. Do you second that? Are you confident?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be making comments, you know, like Robbo did. I mean, it's professional sport, and I think any team you play in, you believe that you can beat any team. But I just feel the way that, you know, that England Test team have played for the past 12 months, you know, it's just a huge opportunity to do something pretty special. And for me, it seems like kind of the country believe that as well. I feel like that's why it's more exciting this year, because, you know, in the last 5-6 years, not everyone's necessarily been behind the Test team, and it's been tough at times. But it feels like right now, not just the team believe they can win, you know, every fan around the country would be right behind us and believing we can win.
Momentum, that's what we love to see as an England Test cricket fan. You've had an incredibly busy winter as well. You've been playing a lot of cricket in all formats, and you quote saying you just want to play as many games for England as you can, and you have been doing that. How have you found it? Have you enjoyed it? Has it been challenging, or how's it been for you?
Yeah, I think looking back, you know, the second stint after Christmas was probably tough looking back. Yeah. You know, we obviously went 3 ODIs, Test series, straight to Bangladesh for 3 T20s. You know, it's in 3 very different conditions against different teams. I like to kind of react to situations, and yeah, I'm fairly proud of, you know, how things went this winter. You know, I was disappointed with the ODIs in South Africa, but you know, playing a couple of games, these things can happen. And yeah, I think actually I've not really had too much time to reflect, but it was, you know, probably the first taste of, you know, how tough it can be in the space of 6-7 weeks to play 3 different formats in international cricket. But you know, it's kind of what you get used to in busy county summers. You know, you go from T20 to a 4-day game to what, and, you know, I found a way to kind of trust my game and almost play similar kind of cricket throughout all 3 formats. And it was just great to be a part of that, you know, all 3 England sides again. And yeah, I remember saying that in New Zealand, and you know, I've had, what was it, 4 or 5 years out of the England dressing room, and I just want to try and take every chance I can get now playing for England. That's what I wanted to do growing up as a kid. I didn't grow up as a kid saying I wanted to go and play in T20 comps. Yeah. It was, you know, all the work I've done has been to play for England, and thankfully I'm in a place right now where, you know, I can try and do that, and you know, you can worry about these comps in between or after.
Very good. Very well summed up. Would you say for you the pinnacle of cricket is the Ashes, playing in the Ashes series? Would you say that?
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. I mean, I'd never really thought of things that way. I think, you know, everyone's got different opinions. But if I think about Test cricket, I think about England v Australia.
Yeah.
You know, so in that sense, I'd definitely say so. I've never played in a World Cup. I don't know. I mean, they're pretty close, aren't they? But I think to win an Ashes series here in England, I think I've finished my career being pretty happy just even at that.
Yeah, it'd be a very good achievement. One thing that England fans are famous for is expecting a lot. There's a World Cup in the same year. We're already holders of the trophy. Are we too aspirational to hope for a Ashes victory and a World Cup victory?
I think that, you know, whatever team the World Cup team is, and I think there's definitely two chances to go and do that. You know, I think England white ball is so strong. I mean, two of the tougher challenges you'll get playing against potentially the best team in the world, Australia, and then going to play a World Cup in India. I think if, you know, you'd won an Ashes and a World Cup come December, I think that would be two incredible achievements.
We'll be at both of them supporting you on, as you know. Finally, just touch on McCullum and Stokes. It's obviously how we see it as fans from the outside looking in. It looks an incredibly relaxed environment, an environment where you're allowed to flourish and be yourself, really. Do you think this is a really forward-thinking way of leadership and how to get the most out of elite athletes, or do you think it's something that's just works for the team you've got at the minute?
Yeah, I think it's easy to do it in a team that buys into it.
Yeah.
You know, different teams and stuff, you'll have different individuals who agree with it. But I was the same as you. I mean, I was watching on last summer as a fan, and I just thought, wow, you know, that environment looks incredible. And when I stepped into it, it was even better than it looked from the outside. Wow. I've never experienced anything like it, and, you know, I don't think I will in another team, you know, hopefully in that team for a little while. But just how relaxed the environment is, and it's had a massive impact on me personally. Even these first three games of the summer, I've been doing things that I'd never have done before. Even the way I train, trying to do it with a smile on my face, and, you know, even in tough net sessions, I'm trying to run at bowlers, put them under pressure. And it's just that mindset of, I think, playing four-day cricket, everyone thinks, you know, different situations, you know, should I do this, should I not? And it's kind of taking that completely out and going, if I want to do something, just committing to it 100%. And I think by doing that in net sessions and stuff, I've taken it into a different dressing room, the way that I've got. I mean, last week, day one at Lord's, paddling a seamer twice for four. Like, I've thought about doing that hundreds of times in county cricket to someone who's not bowling express pace. And last week, I just thought, I don't even know why I'm considering this. And, you know, just did it and got four runs, the change of field. I feel like that's purely because of that England dressing room and Stokesy and Baz McCullum. I wouldn't have done that, you know, otherwise. So it's just kind of keep doing that. I don't feel like there's a ceiling on how to kind of play four-day cricket now, which is a really special place to be.
Do you think other countries are going to try and catch us up in that method and that style of play?
Yeah, I don't know other countries. You know, obviously different conditions and where you're playing. I feel, just from my experience of playing it this winter, you know, Pakistan played their brand of cricket,
yeah,
and it showed that it didn't work when we're doing what we're doing and doing it well.
Yeah.
You know, I think there are elements of, if we're scoring at five and over throughout the day, you probably have to score a bit quicker, you know, if it does go well. So, you know, you've seen bits of it already around the county circuit, which is great to see. I love it. Even I'm playing against young batters and they're trying to smack it or put the bowlers back under pressure. It's so much more enjoyable to be around than if people are just kind of, you know, trying to block it all day. But I'm sure the way the game's moving and the amount of T20 cricket that's being played, you know, certain other countries will, but whether they'll, I feel like you need a coach and a captain to lead by example, and that's what England have got, and, you know, different countries may not have that right now.
Brilliant answer. And this will be the final one, I promise. Your Barmy Army song, this is a Barmy Army interview. You have a Barmy Army song, you've had a couple now over the years. What's it like to have your own song as a player?
Yeah, it's great, to be honest. And to be honest, for me, I mean, I want them on my side this summer, definitely. I want them singing that as loud as they can, and fingers crossed I'll be out in the middle batting. But yeah, you're always noticing it going on, and even I'm listening to different people's song, you know, even not even a song, but when everyone's shouting Root when he's batting, it's incredible. And as an individual, that kind of support, it was the first time I properly witnessed it playing in New Zealand, and it's just a different kind of atmosphere. You know, you've got them singing all day, there's never a dull moment, and the lift and boost that gives us out there in the middle, yeah, it's amazing.
Ben, 26 quick fire questions for how many England caps you've got across all formats. Very random number, I know, but hopefully it'll be 27 soon. First one, best innings you've played?
Well, we just spoke then, didn't we? I think my favourite would be Test 100. But I think the best one I ever played was for the Lions in a 50-over game. I got 220 not out.
Decent.
Just one of those days where everything... I mean, looking back, I don't know how I did it. But just everything clicked, and everything I hit went in the gap or went for four. So I think that one's got to be up there.
Brilliant. Number two, what's your most played artist on Spotify?
It's actually, and this is probably more since having a girlfriend, Dermot Kennedy.
Okay.
And we actually went and saw him in Nottingham.
I saw you.
We saw it, and he was unbelievable. So yeah, I'd have to, a bit more chilled out than okay. Maybe it would have been 5 years ago. Drake or someone like that.
What's your favourite meal?
I can't go past a Sunday roast for me.
Yeah.
Beef.
Especially when you've been away a lot.
Yeah. That every tour I go to, I'm thinking about having a roast when I get back. Especially the subcontinent.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, next question. Who's been the biggest inspiration in your life?
It's probably cricketing sense, say my dad. Which, you know, a lot of lads do say that, but... he was a big part of why, you know, I'm playing cricket now. I think as soon as we had a very sporty family, but he loves his cricket. I mean, I'm convinced he moved to West Hampshire just so he could be on Lord's doorstep. So, yeah, mum and dad, but more so dad in the cricketing sense.
He's well known to the Barmy Army as well.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Do you have any pre-match rituals?
I don't. And I think... I've potentially done different things in the past, but I've just kind of realised no matter what I do in the morning, the outcome's going to be different every single day of a cricketer's, as a batter's life. So I'm not really one for superstitions or little things. You know, if I was to get 100 and be batting the next day, I might just do what I did the morning before, yeah. But not too much, to be honest, because as I say, I mean, you could feel the best in the world and get naught as a batter and... you could almost feel the worst and get 100. So I tend to try and stay clear of all that.
That'll be a lesson to you, club cricket, from Ben Panton every Saturday. Okay, who's the most famous person in your phone book?
Oh, that's a good question, that. Because I've got, there's a couple in there. I'd probably say Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't look past that one.
More low than.
Yeah.
Best stadium you've ever played at?
I'm just a massive Lords fan, personally.
That for the tees?
Yeah, oh, good to be fair. Unless when you're batting and you miss out on them. But Lords is so special. I mean, I've only played county cricket there, so fingers crossed that's going to change fairly soon. But I think, you know, the history behind it and, you know, the thought of walking through a packed out long room, go out to bat in front of 25,000, that's, yeah, pretty incredible.
You can have anyone, past or present, batting as your partner at the other end. Who are you picking?
Brian Lara. Easy answer for me, that is. I used to turn the TV on every time he was batting.
Who's the most difficult ball you've ever faced?
Ashwin. Won't be a surprise to many people. I think most left-handers who have ever batted in India against him would say the same thing.
Yeah.
Just a ridiculous bowler, and actually played with him here.
Yeah.
which is nice. I played him in the nets as much as I could to try and get a bit more confidence to him. But yeah, he's incredible.
Looking forward to seeing you back in India, hopefully this time next, well, in January next year.
Won't be blocking as many if I do.
What's your favourite drink?
Ooh.
Non-alcoholic.
I drink 2-3 coffees a day. I think that or...
Something about cricket and coffee, isn't it?
Well, I just think because you're always so bored up there, sitting in the dressing room and you got coffee or water, really. So, I mean, that's probably the drink that I'd have every day. I love a Diet Coke on tap in a pub or something. It always tastes nicer there. Yeah.
What's your favourite Barmy Army song?
Wow, you put me on the spot there, haven't you?
I've thrown you under the bus.
I feel like, can you give me a couple and I'll...
Shake It Up, Woody?
Woody's a good one.
It's a belter, isn't
it? I'm trying to think if I've heard it when I've been playing
Fruity's
with it.
One Night in Calcutta's good, but...
Did you sing it or not?
Would I sing it?
Yeah. Can you sing it now or...?
Sheffield Wednesday, that's United song.
I'm hoping to hear a lot more of them this summer, so I'll know them a lot better. I mean, I'm hoping they might be singing my song, so... That's got to be up there.
It will be. What's still on your bucket list to do?
I don't think I've... Win the Ashes?
Yeah.
Nice. Is that a good answer?
Yeah, that's the best.
Because I was actually about to say I don't really have any, but I mean, that would be right up
if
there.
If you're going to say skydive with the missus, I think we'd just stop rolling.
Me and my missus do not want to do that.
Very good. You got any other favourite sports?
Yeah, I mean, loved playing all sports. Growing up as a kid... been following Notts Forest a lot recently in the last couple of years. I mean, it's on my doorstep just here, so playing wise, rugby was my favourite at school. Rugby, football, love playing tennis, you name it. I'll watch sport religiously all day.
Who's the best wicketkeeper you've ever played with?
It's got to be Folksy, isn't it? I mean, he's... You know, I didn't play with Chris Reid here. He's right up there. But, you know, folks, he's talked about being one of the best in the world. So, got to go with him.
Who's the best teammate in the dressing room?
In this dressing room?
Any dressing room.
Jack Leach. Jack Leach and Luke Fletcher. Like, similar kind of energy. All winter playing with Leachy, he's the type of guy that you walk into a dressing room and me and him just laugh at each other.
Yeah.
Just as soon as I see him, he just makes me happy. And Fletch is very similar here. If you notice a week when Fletch isn't playing,
really?
So much because of the energy he brings. And yeah, so for me, those two are right up there.
Two questions here. In the current England squad, who's the worst dressed sense, and who's the most stylish?
I mean, Pakistan obviously is not really a place for showing off what, you know, your fashion sense. I mean, there, I'd say Brookie, who's now one of the richer men in the group, I mean, he'd wear the same, he'd probably have two t-shirts that he'd recycle and a pair of shorts. And I did tell him that.
Yorkshire, that, isn't it?
Yeah, very well. He's still going to be, I know he's going to be tight now, even after his big pay packet in the IPL. So, and who's the best? I'm not sure how many. There's too much great fashion, certainly not him. Who would be in there? I'm trying to think, Folksy, but he's just a good looking chap, isn't he? I'm not sure.
Yeah, he can do no wrong.
He just gets freebies, I think, Folksy. trying to think to New Zealand. Oh, it's bad, this. I can't, no one stands out
no
to
one.
Me. Of like, really cool, like, he's...
He's got the gear.
And that might be because of a month in Pakistan of everyone wearing the same shorts and t-shirt every single day. But I'll see a bit more of that this summer in England.
Good. We'll come back to you on that one. Last three then. Longest to get changed up, added up. It takes ages. That's about to get pads on.
Stokes is never ready, I find. I feel because you'd be very shocked to know he's so relaxed. Like almost, I reckon the guy's faced a ball and he's next in still putting his pads on. And you know, most other people are probably sat upstairs waiting to go out to bat. A bit more nerve-wracking. I mean, because I'm opening, I'm not really seeing Popey, Rooty. So it's generally I'd see maybe 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
But yeah, Stokesy, but in a very relaxed way. He's not panicking.
God.
I mean, I feel like a wicket could go down and he's still got one pad on.
Amazing. Last two. These are two biggies. I think you might, I don't know if you're going to be able to answer this one.
Right.
Jimmy or Brody?
Well, I'm going to go Brody just because
you have to, don't
he's
you?
my Notts teammate. So
you facing Jimmy this week?
I know, yeah. We'll see how that goes. I know it's going to be tough here at Trent Bridge, but I'm already eyeing up that short boundary at backward point there if he gives me a bit of width, but that's going to be a challenge.
Quality. Final one, Smith or Warner?
I mean, Smith is kind of on a different level. But I think Warner gave me a lot of inspiration when I started opening.
Okay.
So I'd probably say him because, you know, I'm not your conventional opening batter. And watching him bat in Test cricket kind of gave me the belief that I could play in my way.
Nice.
I didn't have to go and bat like, you know, at the time, Alistair Cook or someone like that. You know, watching the way that he used to put bowlers under pressure. When I started, a few of the North Ends, as you used to say, you know, yeah. Young Davy Warner. So,
on the high.
I mean, probably a little short. Yeah, trying to whack everything. I mean, I'd take half his career. So, I'll go with him. Left-handed batter.
Good answer. You're going to outscore him in the Ashes anyway, so don't worry about it.
I hope so.
So, man, Ben.
Cheers, mate.
Ben Duckett speaking to you, Chris. Great lad. Really do like Ben Duckett. And also what you can't see when you're listening is the little glint in his eye that he has when he's talking. Very, very funny. Like he's got that sort of, yeah, always looking to take the piss. And I quite like it. Good man. Good man.
Yeah.
Hope he does well. Look, before we go, Chris had this little idea a minute ago to basically have a competition because competitive, isn't he? So I think that we're going to try and pick our top run scorer, top wicket taker, and overall Ashes prediction. Yeah? I mean,
yeah.
you are the Glenn McGrath, the English Glenn McGrath of Ashes predictions, by the way. I mean, he's like the most...
Got to be.
I know it's part of your job remit, probably. So who's going to kick off? I mean, it's your idea, so you can have first dibs here, mate. What we're doing, highest run scorer first?
Yeah, so highest run scorer, it's a real tough one, to be honest. We've got so much ability in that top order. You look at Harry Brook, you look at Rooty, you look at Duckett, you look at Crawley, Johnny, Stokes. It's potential to be a lot of high run scorers in there. But I am going to go loyal and stick to my guns. So loyalty now means Duckett or Rooty. however, I'm out to win. I'm a competitive guy. I'm going to go Rooty, England top run scorer.
That would be not surprising. And actually, I'm quite annoyed that you picked Rooty because that was going to be my pick. I thought you were going to go Ben Duckett.
It was very, very close.
You know what? I think big breakthrough summer. I suppose the breakthrough summer came last summer, didn't it, from a Harry Brook perspective? But let's go Harry Brook for me. Just think he's so exciting. I think the Australian quicks are not going to have been taken on by any batsman in the world like they have done by Harry Brook, particularly on home soil. So let's go Harry Brook. All right. Okay. Brook,
very good.
Harry Brook and Rooty. Highest wicket taker. Go on, Chris.
Highest wicket taker. Stuart Broad.
Stuart Broad? Yeah.
Stuart Broad.
That's original, considering that as we speak, he's just got 5 for at tee on the first day on the first test.
He should never give away the opportunity to go first.
I know. I did kick myself. I did think, what was I doing there? That was stupid. Yeah, but make it that much sweeter when I do come out on top. And it's not me coming out on top. I think it is going to be summer for... This is tricky, isn't it? Because... You never really think a spinner in an Ashes series is going to come out on top. And you definitely don't, you know, we've not seen that since Shane Warne when he was just basically ripping through everyone. You're laughing. Why are you laughing? I think we're going to see a man who has flourished under Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes like no other. Unsung hero. We love him. I think Jack Leach. Seriously, Jack Leach is going to be the highest wicket taker.
Okay.
Okay. Happy with that? I know you're happy with that because you've gone for Stuart Broad. You've done me.
I'll take that. I mean, I love Leach. I think he's a great asset for the team, but I think you should stick to golf.
Yeah. There'll be a lot of people saying that, I think.
No. I think I'd love it. I'd love it. I'd love nothing more than see Leach rip through the Aussies.
I do think he's bowling. He's bowling his best of his career, you know.
Definitely.
And yeah, and you just don't know. You don't know. It's all on the surfaces as well, isn't it? Of course. Let's talk Ashes predictions then. And I am going to say it's going to be 3-0 England. 3-0.
3-0?
Yeah, 3-0.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I just can't see. I can't see Australia having any, again, like what I just said about Harry Brook, you know, that they're going to be going, oh my word, really? I know they know what to expect. They've seen a full summer of it already, but I still don't think that they're going to be ready for it.
4-0 England, one rain affected game. Aussie aren't going to get anywhere close.
One rain affected game. That's the only reason. Okay, fair enough. Correct. Well, there we go. They are our Ashes predictions. We'll be going through them. And just a reminder, if you do want to send yours in as well and get involved, we can sort of, you know, go along with them and see Correct. How we're all getting on. I do
reply
hope
to the tweet, reply to the Instagram, Facebook, just comment below when we promote this podcast with your Ashes prediction. We will put ours all over social media and we will give the winner a Ashes Barmy Army shirt. If you get it right, if you get the leading run scorer, the leading wicket taker and you get the prediction right, we will give you a Ashes the best shirt.
Okay, there we go. That's intensive, high incentive. Chris, nice one. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks time and very much looking forward to seeing as many of you as possible. 50 tickets left, as Chris says. By the time this you listen to the end of this podcast, there'll probably be about 25. So you really need to get a wriggle on. Get some of those tickets bought. Hope to see as many of you there at Walkabout in Birmingham as possible after day one of the Ashes. And have a great cricketing summer. And we'll speak to you next time here on the Shackles Are Off podcast. Sports Social Podcast Network.